Starting from the bottom of Kaf Ben Amud Bet, if you remember, there were these 11 or 10 cases in the Mishnah of how Kodesh is Chamor from Truma. So now we're moving on to the next one. Hanosei et ha-midras, nosei et ha-truma, aval lo et ha-kodesh. If you're holding midras, something that was nitma by a zav, a yoled and a nida, that they sat on or stepped on, or right here we talked about maybe a shoe, he's holding a shoe in his hand, that was the case Rashi brought. You'll see why they brought that case. He's holding that in one hand, and can he hold something else in the other hand? If he's holding truma in the other hand, so it says, you can hold truma in your other hand, but not kodesh. So they say, kodesh my time alo, and that's obviously, if you're holding this, you're not able to pass truma on to the other object, otherwise the truma would be pasul. So if so, then why would they gozer on the kodesh? Now they're going to say, Mishum ma'aseh shehaya. There was a case that happened and something happened, and because of that instance, they decided we need to make a gzera. So what was that case? We're going to see right now. De'amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ma'aseh be'echad, shayam avir chavit shal yayin kodesh, mimakom lemakom. He was carrying wine, obviously for the Yei Nesach, right, that they would pour the wine libations on the Mizbeach. So he was carrying a big barrel of wine, mimakom lemakom. V'nipsika ritzu'a shel sandalo. And his shoe ripped. Okay, his sandal ripped, the strap fell off. This happened to me the other day on the way to shul. Somebody stepped on the back of my shoe and the ritzu'a ripped off. V'nitala v'hinicha opi chavit. Now, this ritzu'a happened to have been a ritzu'a that was tamei midras. And what did he do? He took the ritzua, or possibly he took the sandal, the broken sandal. Nobody knows exactly what this, a machloket among the mefarshim. And he put it on top of the chavit. Okay, maybe he didn't have a hand to carry it, so he stuck it on the top of the chavit. V'nafla la'avir chavit, and it fell inside. And then what happened? It was mitame, all of his kodesh.
It says avir chavit. Does that mean it fell in, but not into the wine, just into the space above the wine? The strap caught us.
Right. Once it gets into the avir, it's already matame everything. That's the point. In other words, I don't know whether it got all the way in, it fell into the wine, it didn't fall into the wine. The point is, it could be the barrel was open, he put it on top, but it went somewhat, it might not have even fallen. It just could have gotten, lowered it a little bit into the avir of the kli. And once it's inside the avir of the kli, everything in the kli is tameh. Binitmeh. Okay? And therefore the whole thing became tameh, which remember, when it comes to kodesh min truma, it's asur. There's like an isur, mamash, to be matameh. You know, a regular food, so you're matameh. Okay, but if it's kodesh, it's asur. Botasha amru, anoseh et hamidras, noseh et hatruma, v'lo et hakodesh. Okay, so then they made a gzera that you can't carry kodesh, but you can carry truma. So obviously the Gemara is going to ask, ihachi trumanami, right? If they're worried about this happening, it could happen to truma also. Truma also, it's an isser to be mitame the truma, to be posalit. So why didn't they go there also on truma? So they say, hamane Rabbi Hanani ben Akavi. This matches Rabbi Hanani ben Akavi's opinion in a different topic, okay? We're going to get into this in a minute, but basically what they're saying is there's a machloket in another place between Rabbi Hanani ben Akavia and somebody else about a case where there was a ma'aseh shahaya, and because of that ma'aseh shahaya, they made a gzera. Then, once you make this gzera, there's a big question. To what extent are you gozer? Are you gozer on just the way the ma'aseh shahaya was? So like in this case, it was in Kodesh. So because the Ma'aseh Shaya happened with Kodesh, we're only gozer with Kodesh. Or do we say, if we're worried about this event happening, well then this might happen and we should be gozer even for Truma. So what they're saying is that the fact that they were gozer only for Kodesh and not for Truma, and that's what our Mishnah says, means that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, who says in another case that when they made a gzera based on a ma'aseh shahaya, they only do it with the details of the way the case was and not any farther. Exactly. So now we're going to see this machloka between Rabbi Hanani ben Akavia and Chachamim about a different topic. Maihi, what's this case? Titanya lo yisa adam mechatat ve'efer chatat v'yavirem b'yarden u'besfina. You can't carry mechatat and the water and the ashes from the Paraduma. You can't carry them through the Yarden in a boat. Okay? Ve, now we're going to hear, this is not going to be Hanani ben Akavya. This is going to be the other opinion, where it's not just in the Yarden and the Spina, but it's in all sorts of other cases. Anytime you want to pass over the water, ve'lo yamo b'tzad zeb, yisrokev, it's not a chair. Let's say you have a thing of mechatai. You can't throw it to the guy at the other side of the river. Velo yishitem apnamayim, and you can't float them across the water. Velo yirkav al gabei behema. Velo al gabei chaveiro. You can't put them on an animal. You can't put them on a person. Ela and ken hayu raglav nokot bekarka. If the person's feet were on the karka, okay, then, so now why, what's the difference if his feet were on the karka? If his feet were on the karka, it's okay. So Rashi says here, Mishuma seshaya besvina kedelakama b'kol svina mahalechet ba'avir. And therefore, gazru al ha'avirot kulan. What did they say? Chachamim, who again, this isn't Hanani ben Akavya. They said this case happened, again, we didn't really see the case yet. We're going to get to it soon. The case happened in a boat and in the Yarden. Now, crossing the Yarden in a boat. So what do they say? Any kind of crossing that's like a boat, okay? If someone's swimming and he carries it with him, or someone's, there's an animal riding through the water and he carries it on him. Any kind of swimming where you're in the avir, right? You're not touching the bottom of the water, that's a problem. But if somebody walks it across the water with his feet touching the ground, that's already different than a sfina. Okay? It's more like a case where somebody is transporting it, moving, like a moving item on some sort of transport, right? Whether the transport could be a person, it could be a boat, it could be an animal, as opposed to, let's say, holding it in your hand. But you can use a bridge, okay? So if you need to get this afer and the mechatat across, that's what you're going to do. You're going to put them on a bridge. Ve'eno choshesh. Echad ha'yardein ve'echad sh'ar naharot. So what do we have here? Then this Tanakhama says, any kind of way of getting it across that's similar to a sfina, it doesn't have to be exactly the same, and it doesn't have to be specifically in the Yarden, it could be any other nahar. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya omer lo asru ela b'yarden u'b'sfina u'kemaseh shehaya. Okay, so he says they were only osir in the exact way the case happened. Okay, again, to remind you, why are we here? We said, why are we gozer on the someone who's carrying a midras and he's also, in the other hand, carrying kodesh? Why are we gozer there in that case only on kodesh and not on truma? And that's because it was particular maseh shehaya and it happened to be in a case of kodesh where the sandal strap fell, or maybe the sandal fell into the avir of the chavit, was metame all the wine. And therefore, we say that this must go according to Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, who says, well, when we go there on Sunday because of Maaseh Shaya, we only do it in the exact way that the Maaseh Shaya happened. So now, you guys have been all waiting. What is this Maaseh Shaya? Okay, what's the Yarden and the Sfina? My Maaseh Shaya, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Maaseh Ba'adam Achad Shaya Ma'avir Mechatat Ve'efer Chatat Ba'Yarden U'Besfina. Okay, he was carrying, which we could have figured out, he was carrying Mechatat and Efer Chatat across the Yarden in a boat. V'nimtza kizayit meit tachuv bekarke itashal sfina. Okay, all of a sudden they found it. Remember, they were so careful with the tahara of the paraduma, which we're going to get to later today. Why they were so machmir? So what do they say? Lo yisa adam mechatat ve'efer chatat ve'avirin b'yarden u'besfina. Okay, because they ended up finding a kizayit meit stuck in the bottom of this boat, they said, you know, any other time, no more boats, no more, right, carrying boats across the Yarden with Mechata, because maybe this will happen again. And then again, you see Tanakama, who went even farther and said all sorts of other situations, which are very unlikely. If an animal's going, right, what's the likelihood that there's a kazayit made onto the animal? It's very strange that Chavim go all the way in this case. Okay. Iba'ilehu. Now we're going back to our sandal case, okay? You're holding the sandal of a Zav. So now they said, when they made this Gzerah, right? So now this guy's sandal fell into the Avir of the Chavit, and they made a Gzerah. So now we want to know, to what extent is this Gzerah Takef? We're going to have three questions. We're only going to see an answer to the last question, and even then we're going to see two opposing answers. So we're not going to have clarity. Iba'ilehu. So they asked about this. Sandal Tameh. So we understand a sandal tameh would be a problem. But sandal tahor mahu, maybe we shouldn't carry any sandal in our hand. Because if we allow people to carry a sandal, then maybe they'll end up carrying a sandal of a zav, and won't realize, and therefore maybe should we, would they go around every sandal, even a tahor one? Chavit ptucha. Chavit stuma ma'u. Okay, now this obviously can only happen if your chavit is open. If your chavit is sealed, this would never happen. So again, where they go there in a chavit stuma, so that, you know, they just say never carry sandals while you're carrying kodesh, or never carry. Maybe they said, oh, never carry tame sandals, but even if the chavit is closed, right? And they want to know under what circumstances. Now they have a great question. Avar v'nasa mahu. They made this gzerah that you can't carry your sandal with the, right, while you're holding a chavit in your hand of kodesh or anything of kodesh. What if you did? Do we say, because there's a gzerat chachamim, that you can't do this, do we fine you, ki'ilu, and say that it's as if you were metame the kodesh, and now the kodesh is considered tameh, even though they never touch, and even though it's really not a problem. But since they made this gzerat to prevent people from doing it, is there a penalty? Okay? So, here we're going to see two different opinions. Rabbi Ila Amar, imavar v'nasa tameh, Rabbi Zera Amar, Avar v'nasa tahor. Okay, two different opinions about whether you're a tameh or tahor in this case. Okay, now we're getting into a new topic. Kelim hanigmirim b'tahara. This is a strange case. Kelim hanigmirim b'tahara, what does that mean? You were careful the whole process, right? They were done when they were created. Remember, there's all, it starts out before you create a kli. Remember, it can't be makabel tumah. So it could be tuma was contracted, you know, there was some tuma before, but that's irrelevant because at that point it can't become tameh until it's a certain size, you get to a certain point, depending on what it is. Now, if you finish it b'tahara, okay, what does the Mishnah say? Just read it exactly. It says, must be lean the kodesh of alo the tuma, I think. Okay, now this is a very strange case. What do you mean? It was nigmar b'tahara. Why do you need tefillah? Right? If the kli was nigmar b'tahara, you shouldn't need tefillah at all. And again, if you're going to say you need tefillah, what? Why not truma? D'gamrin hu man. Who finished the kli? Okay? Who was the guy who finished the kli? Again, what are our categories? Either he's a chavir, he's makpid on halacha, and then we can assume it's all tahor. Or is nam aretz, and then it needs tefillah. But if that's the case, then what does it mean nigmar b'tahara? Let's see. Gamrin hu man, who finished this? Ilema de gamrinu chaver lama lehu tefillah. There's no point for tefillah. Ela de gamrinu am aretz nigmarim b'tahara kari lehu. It says they're nigmarim b'tahara. Now an am aretz never trusted that he's tahor. In which case, you can't possibly say that the kli was nigmar b'tahara if the guy himself is tameh. Amar Rav Barshila, Amar Rav Matna, Amar Shmuel, La'olam, de gamrinu chaver, umishum senior de amaretz de nafal. Okay. So now what, or mishum senior de amaretz, period. What does this mean? Really, it was finished b'tahara with a chaver, but this is very similar to the case we saw about the woman when she tied the knot, it had ripped, and she tied it with her mouth, and her saliva got onto it, and then we were concerned. Do you remember this case? She tied it with the saliva, but it wasn't a kli yet, so it shouldn't be a makabel tumah. But what happened when she actually made the kli? The concern is that maybe it's still wet. It's the exact same thing we're going to say here. The nama aretz could have, it could be the nama aretz's rok, his spit, got on the kli, right, on the parts of the kli before it became a kli, and then it hadn't properly dried when it was nigmar b'tahara. So when it's nigmar b'tahara, it now has this rok of a zav. Okay, is the rock, is the spit. So now we're concerned that it might have that, and therefore we have to be gozer. So now they say dinafal emat. Okay, so I already a little bit preempted what they're going to say. But when did it fall, the spit? Ilem amikame deligmere halav manahu. Right, if it's before we finished the kli, so it wasn't even a kli, and it's not a kabel tumah. If we're worried that maybe the spit got on the kli after the kli was already finished, well, if a chaver is working on this kli and it's nigmar b'tahara, he's going to watch it. He's going to make sure it doesn't come in contact with tumah. So you shouldn't need to, and if it does, he knows about it. So you shouldn't need to just tovel any kli. So again, we're going to say, like we said before, La'olam mekame digamrei, got on there before it was finished. V'dilma be'idne digamrei, but maybe at the time that it was finished, adayin lechahi, it's still wet. Okay? And therefore, that's what they're assuming happens in this case. So a klishe nigmar b'tara, it was done by chaver. We can't assume that he made sure that no spit got on it from the very beginning because he's not careful in the beginning, because in the beginning it's not a kli and it can't contract tumah. So because of that, it could be some rot got on there from before. And then when the kli is still finished, it could be that there's still some spit on there. Okay, that the spit is a little bit wet still. And therefore it would still be tumah. Yes, it's a little bit rachok, you would have to say. The chances of all this happening are slim. But again, that's why we say we're going to do it for Kodesh, because we want to keep Kodesh in a very, very high level, but we don't need to do this for Truma. We're clearly not that concerned about it. Okay, now, they're going to be medayik something from the Lashon of the Mishnah. This is why I wanted to read it inside. The Mishnah says, Tzrichin tefillah lekodesh. Now, what does it seem to imply? You need tefillah. Now, again, going back to basic dinim of Tumah v'tara, there's two different types of tumah, right? There's tumat meit, which we already learned. If you have a tumat meit, you have to both for a person and for a kli, you need on the third day and the seventh day, you need to sprinkle the mechatat on it, right? That's the water mixed with the ashes of the paraduma. And then you go to the mikvah on the seventh day. And if you're a person, you need to do the korban on the eighth day. Now, if it's a regular kli, you need to do tefillah, and generally you need to wait for harev shemesh. Just like a person, he's called a tful yom, is someone who tovels in the morning, but he's not yet, okay, now the tful yom has a weird status, because on the one hand he's toveled, on the other hand he has to wait for nightfall to become completely tahor. So he's in this in-between status when he's a tful yom. Certain things are allowed, certain things aren't. We're going to learn today the dafka, the para aduma. Okay, this is a machloket, I'll already be makdim, because there's a lot of things, background you need to know for what we're going to learn up coming up. The para aduma, there's a pasuk in the Torah that the Tzdukim and the Prushim argued about, with the para aduma. Okay, the pasuk goes like this. V'lakach ezo v'taval b'mayim ish tahor. Okay, this ish tahor, we learned this actually in the past, if you recall. This ish tahor, why does it say ish tahor? So the Prushim say, what does this show? It shows that someone who's a tful yom and hasn't yet had harev shemesh is okay to do this. He's considered an ish tahor and he can deal with the paraduma. The Tzdukim said, no way. You need an ish tahor like tahor legamre. He has to be completely tahor. He can't be a tful yom. And this was a really big issue between the Prushim and the Tzdukim. Okay? And as a result, they went out of their way to dafka do the para aduma with a tful yom. They would be mitame someone. And then he would do it to show the tzdukim that they're wrong. Okay? And we're going to see that today also.
In Yoma, did
we
see this?
We saw it probably in Yoma. Sounds about right. Let me see if it... Yeah, in Yoma. Very good. So they did this in order... Now, the other thing is, because they did this, they didn't want people to think, though. In other words, this was the mesorah that they had, that a tful yom was allowed to do the para aduma. But since they had that, they didn't want people to think, oh, we can be mekel with para aduma. If a tful yom can do it, then we can be mekel with all sorts of things. And they made lots and lots of other chumrot about the para aduma because of this. Okay? But the two things to know are, number one, they made all sorts of chumrot. That's a little less relevant. The important thing is that this is a big machloga prushim tzdukim, and when that happens, you have to do all sorts of things to make a point. Okay? And that's what we're going to get to later. But in any case, that wasn't what we needed for right now. What we needed for right now is to talk about this kli. Okay? This kli, if it's really got tumah on it, so what they're saying in the Mishnah is, the Mishnah says you're toveling it, but it doesn't say you have to wait for harev shemesh. So the Gemara implies here that tvila in, harev shemesh lo. It must mean that you only need to tovel them. You're cleansing marbatara, you stick it in the mikveh, and then you can use it. You don't need to wait like you do for many other tumot for harev shemesh. And now they're going to try to say that this poses a problem, this assumption, okay, that you don't need harev shemesh for this kli. Okay, kli shenigmar b'tahara doesn't need harev shemesh. Now they're going to try to say this doesn't seem to match an opinion of a Tana that we have from a different case. And here we get into the para aduma. Matnitin de lo Rabbi Elazar. Ditnan shfoferet shachatcha lechatat. Rabbi Elazar omer. It's Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar. I think it's Rabbi Elazar. I don't have the Likud here. What does it say there? Rabbi Elazar? Okay, fine. Rabbi Elazar omer yitbo miyad. Rabbi Yoshua omer yitma v'achar kach yitbo. Okay, we have to wait till we get to what the relevance of this is to our issue. So we'll take a break for a minute. Now we'll just learn this Mishnah. If you have a shfoferet, okay, what's a shfoferet? It's a tube. Really, what we're talking about here is they took a reed. They took a natural, right? It's not like a plastic tube. Right? They cut a reed from the ground. Now, remember, things, when they're attached to the ground, can't contract tumah. Only once you cut them are they mukhshar lekabel tumah. And again, then they have to come in contact with water. Here it's strange because it doesn't come in contact with water at all, according to this. But anyway, he cuts the shfoferet for the chatat, what are you using the shfoferet for? You want to put the ashes in it. Okay, it's a tube to put the ashes of the paradum in them. Rabbi Eliezer omer yitbo miyad. As soon as you cut this tube, you tovel it. Rabbi Yoshua omer yitma v'achar kach yitbo. First make it tame, then tovel it. Okay, v'havinam ba. Now they ask a question on this Mishnah. Okay, we're going to work on understanding these two different opinions. Who cut this? This is exactly the same as a klish nigmar b'tahara, right? Because you're making a kli out of something that was tahor to begin with. Ilema dechatcha chaver lama li tfila, right? What is ni tfila for if a chaver came in contact with it? Ve'ela dechatcha ma'aretz b'ha lema Rabbi Yoshua yitma v'yitbol hatame v'kai. If an ma'aretz cut it, well then it would be tame already. So you don't need to say yitma v'yitbol, right? Make it tame. It's already tame. Okay, now we're going to get to the same thing again. What are we concerned about? The chaver is the one who cut it, but it could have had spit from an ama aretz. To nafal emat, when did it fall? Again, the same thing. It wasn't even a kli. This is also a point. I didn't point this out, obviously. It's not just that it's attached to the karka, but it's not even a kli. It's just a reed, right? It's when you cut it that you turn it into a kli. So, and after he cuts it, if it's a chaver, he's very careful about it. Lo'olam mikame de lichatcha, dilma bi'ina dechatcha adayin lichahi, right? So again, we say it's the spit got on it before it was cut, the chaver cuts it, and it might still have the spit on it, and it's still wet, and therefore it's tameh. So now we're going to say Bishlama le Rabbi Yoshua Hainu de'ika hekera litzdukim. This makes sense to Rabbi Yoshua because the whole point is that we're making a heker to the tzdukim. That's why we're metame at first. We're metame it because we want to make a statement to the tzdukim that things can be tful yom, right? That things don't need harev shemesh. Okay? Ditznan. Now here we're going to get into the tzdukim. Mitam'im hayu, this is what I already preempted and told you. Mitam'im hayu et ha-kohen ha-sorep et ha-para. They would dafka mitame the kohen who went to be sorep et ha-para. They would be mitame him and tovel him before he did it. Lohotzi milivan shel tzdukin shayu omrim b'murabe shemesh haitam nasei. Okay, in order to remove from the heads of the tzdukim and say, we don't know about the tzdukim, they would dafka be mitame him and obviously tovel him so that we would show that the tzdukim are wrong. Ela le Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is strange. Iamar bishlama ba'alma be'inan harev shemesh. Now we get to our case. What's the issue here? We have our case, which is kelim hanigmirim b'tahara, right? Kelim hanigmirim b'tahara. And what do we say about them? That lo be'inan harev shemesh. Now we're going to have, on the other hand, this shfoferet. Okay, now, if we say that it needs harev shemesh, then that basically is going to go against our Mishnah, our understanding of our Mishnah. Okay? Because basically we're saying a klishin gmar b'tahara is exactly the same as shfoferet. We basically explain that the logic behind it is the same. That's why Rabbi Yoshua says you have to be tovel it because you're mertame it. But Rabbi Lezer says you have to be choshesh that maybe some rock was on it and that's the issue. So it's the exact same case. So now they say, if a shfoferet needs harev shemesh, okay, iamar bishlama be'alma be'inan harev shemesh, in general it needs harev shemesh, and in this case we're saying it doesn't need harev shemesh, Okay, this shofaret for sure doesn't need harav shemesh, because what does he say? Yitbol miyad, right? You tovel it miyad, and the obvious thing is, and then you use it right away. So clearly, it doesn't need harav shemesh. But if kelim hanigmarim b'tahara generally need harav shemesh, and this time you don't do harav shemesh, then hainu de'ikai kerel etzdukin. You've now made a statement to the tzdukin. Because generally, a klish nigmar b'tahara needs harav shemesh. This case, you said, we're toveling it and we're using it right away. So we're making a statement. So that's his statement that he's made. But now you see the obvious problem. Ele'iyamar ba'alma, like we said now, that lo be'inan harav shemesh, the kelim hanigmarim b'tahara don't generally need harav shemesh. Then my hakeril etzdukin ikai. So now what's clear here, which is interesting, is that it must be that Rabbi Eliezer believes that we have to do a heker l'tzdukim. And so you could answer, maybe you don't need a heker for the tzdukim in this issue, right? There were anyway, matbil, the kohen, they were matami, the kohen, hasarei v'tapara. So why did you have to make a heker also when it comes to the shofar? But the assumption here is that yes, he would have to do some sort of heker. So now we're going to struggle to figure out what this heker is, because it can't be the harav shemesh issue. Because if this lo be'inan harav shemesh and this lo be'inan harav shemesh, right, neither of them need harav shemesh, then there's absolutely no noticeable difference. It's the exact same thing. So now what do they say? Amarav, asa'ua kitmei sheres. Okay, now let's go back here. Kelim anigburim b'tara, what did we say? They need harav shemesh. Why do they need harav shemesh? For which case? For kodshim. So basically, let's say this in other words. This kli becomes what type of kli? If it's only relevant for Kodesh, it's a kli shlishi, right? This kli is now a kli shlishi, because if it was anything earlier, it would be metame all sorts of other things. So this kli has the status of a kli shlishi. And that's basically what we're going to say here, the differences. This has the status of a kli shlishi, but this shvoferet asa'ua kitmei sheretz. They made it into a rishon. Okay, this shofar becomes a risha and letuma. And that's the difference. Okay. What's the difference between being a rishon and a shlishi? Well, a shlishi can only be metame kochin. A rishon can be metame any kind of food and drink. It can make anything into a sheni. So they're saying that the status of what it is different. Not that there's anything different in what you do, whether there's harav shemesh, there's not harav shemesh. And that's the heker, that they made it as if it was came in contact with a sheretz is a sheretz is navatuma, and this would be a rishon. Okay, in which case it could be metame. Again, what could be metame, and this is going to be our problem? Only food and drink. So, and that's your heker. Okay? Then they say, ela me'ata lo titma adam. So if it's a rishon, it can't be metame adam, right? Right? Okay, because a rishon, right? What can be metame adam? Just an avatuma or a aviavot atuma, right? The dead body, or an avatuma can be metame adam. And alama tanya. So then, why does it say in the braita, chotcha umatbila, the guy who cuts it, right? He cuts it, he tovels it, ta'un tfila. The guy who works with it has to do tfila himself. It's metame him. If it's metame him, then you can't say it's a rishon, right? So what do they answer? Ah, no. Ve'ela asa'ua kitmei meit. They made him like as if, not a rishon, okay, an avatuma. They made this little shoferet that you cut have the status of an avatuma that is metame adam. And that's going to be your heker to the other people. The fact, right, because everybody knows now, if it's going to be passed on tumah to people and to kelim, they're obviously going to know that it's different from a regular klishi nigmar b'tahara, which is only metame kochim, which is only a shlishi. There's a big difference, especially between an avatum and a shlishi. Okay, so now that's what they're saying. Now, what do we have a problem with? What do we say? Remember, if a kli comes in contact with a tumah mate, what does it need? Hazaav gimel and zayin, and this kli we're talking about, he uses immediately. So ihachi tibai hazaat shlishi ushvi. Okay, and alama tanya. Why does it say in the braita chotcha umatbila ta'un tfila? Tfila in hazaat shlishi ushvi lo. Right. In other words, he doesn't need right. Not the guy and the kli. Nothing needs hazaat shlishi ushvi. So now they say something really interesting. Ela asa'ua kitmeimet bashvi'i shelo. If already they're making it into something it isn't, so they're going to make it into a tmei meit that was a tmei meit on the seventh day. Because what's unique about a tmei meit on the seventh day? Number one, you do the tefillah that day and you can already, right, you're already done. Number two, just because it's the seventh day, it's able to pass on tumah just like any other day of its tumah. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for something to pass on tumah. So it's meimed on the seventh day. Okay, great. Except that we say v'hatanya, but isn't there a brayta that says me'olam lo chidshu davar b'para? What does that mean? This means that para aduma, remember I told you that they made all these chumrot because they didn't want people to say, oh, well, if a tevul yom could do it, then I'm sure we can do all sorts of other things. So they say, no. Anything that we were machmir about a para aduma has to be something that exists already. They didn't make anything up. Okay? We're going to see exactly what this means. But for right now, what do they think this means? This means that you can't say that something that didn't come in contact with a tumah mate is now a tumah mate, right? That's a chiddush, right? We don't have any category of tumat mate which doesn't actually come from a mate, okay? So they're saying, how can you be mechadesh such a thing? How can you be mechadesh the fact that this, you cut your shfaferet, right? And immediately we're going to say it's tumat mate of the seventh day. Okay, I actually was thinking the mefreshim. I didn't find mefreshim that said this. I didn't look over all the mefreshim, but the basic translations I saw didn't say this. But also to make somebody to make on day number seven is also something very bizarre. And as I thought that I would have understood when I read this first before I looked at the mefreshim, I thought that that's what the chiddush was. But anyway, Rashi doesn't go that way, and he says no. The chiddush is that you're making something that didn't come in contact with tumah into its tumah mate. Okay.
Especially like Adama, because it's just a parrot, because it's the shofaret.
Well, it's the shofaret that you're going to use for the afer of the paraduma. Okay. So that's why we're careful about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, when they say now they're going to explain, Abaya's going to explain that when you said me'olam lo chidshu davar b'parad, they didn't mean things like this. They meant other things. Okay, and we'll explain the difference in a minute. Amar Abaya shelo amru kordom mitame moshav. Kedetanya, okay, well, we'll read the Brayta in a minute. Remember we learned about Tumat Moshav, okay? We've had this a lot recently. The Midrash, Moshav, right? Tumat Moshav means that if a person who's Tameh an Avatumah comes in contact with a Kli, he's Metameh the Kli becomes a Rishon, it can only be Metameh Ochel and Mashke. Azava, Anidi, Yoledet, or Unique, that there's this other tumah called moshav or mishkav or midras, however you call it, if they sit on something or step on something, that, now here's the important part, that's generally stepped on, sat on, okay? It has to be something that we generally use for those purposes. If you have something for those purposes and you sit on it, it becomes like the avatumah, in which case it passes on tumah to a person, okay? Do you remember the psukim by Nida? It says it explicitly. Okay, I'll read you the psukim and you'll see where we get it from. It's not here. Where's the psuk? I forget where the psuk. I thought they were here, but I don't see them. But it talks about that hashochev alav, like anything she sits on and stands on.
This one?
Yeah, what? Yeah, Shevala Kli. Oh, so where is that? No, I don't think that was the one. What does it say? Vayikra? Yeah, Vayikra what? Here it is. Okay. Vishaki tiye zava adam yiye zava b'vsara shivat yamim tiye benidata v'chol nogea b'yitma d'erev. V'chol asher tishkav ala benidata yitma. Okay? Anything, v'chol asher teshev aleha yitma. Okay, anything she sits on and stands on. Okay. Anyone who touches her where she sits or sleeps, okay? Okay? So anything that she sits on is metame adam. That's a unique category. Now, what do we say about this category? You can't come and be mechadesh. This only applies to things that you generally sit on. But you can't say, I'm going to take a kordom. What's a kordom? An axe. I'm going to take an axe, and I'm going to give this axe the status of moshav. Okay? Nobody ever sits on an axe. That's what you can't say, that when it comes to paraduma, we're going to be machmir, and we're going to make tumat midras apply also, tumat moshav apply also to an axe. That you can't do. But you can take, what are we taking? We're taking a shvoferet, where if this shvoferet happened to be in a house where there was a dead body, it would become tameh. So we can say, for all intents and purposes, imagine that this became tameh by a dead person. That we can do, but we can't imagine that a garzen, right, an axe, is a cordon, is something people can sit on. That we can't imagine. But we can imagine this shofar would end up in somebody's house. That's the distinction they're going to make. Okay? So Amar Abaye, Shalom Rukordom Tamei Moshav Kidetanya. Here's a bride that approves it. V'hayoshev al hakli. Okay, the pasuk says, if you sit on the kli. Okay, thanks for pointing that out, where the pasuk was. Yachol kafa se'ah v'yeshev alav. You might think if he took, okay, a se'ah is like a one se'ah measuring cup and a tirkav is a half a se'ah measuring cup. Let's say you take the measuring cups from your house and you flip them upside down and you sit on them and you use them as a stool. Okay, right? Chair is hard to say, but a stool. You sit on them. You might think this becomes tameh. Tamud lamar, v'hayoshev al hakli asher yeshev alav yitma. Right? It doesn't just say hayoshev al hakli. Hayoshev al hakli asher yeshev alav. Right, that's generally used for sitting. Misha miyuchad liyeshiva, yatsa zeh, and here's the criteria that they decided by. She'omrim lo amod v'naseh malachteinu. If, let's say, you're sitting on this measuring cup, okay, and someone in your house is cooking, and they say, hey, I need the measuring cup, can you give it to me? You'll get up immediately, and you'll give them the measuring cup, right, so they can use it. That's the criteria. If somebody says, give it to me so I can use it for my work, then that's not considered tumat moshav. Okay? So that's what they say the chiddush is, in which case we have no problem saying that they made this shofaret like a tmeimet. Originally we thought maybe that was problematic, it was a new category. It's not a new category, because tmeimet exists with shofarot. Just what doesn't exist? Midras by, a garzan or something, a cordon. Okay, now we're going to get to the next topic. Hakli mitzaref masha b'tachol l'kodesh, aval lo l'truma. This is if you have a kli full of lots of, let's say, steaks. And if it's Kodesh, then as soon as one is Tameh, the entire thing is Tameh, even if they're not touching. Whereas for Truma, that would be the case. Menahane Mile, Amarav Chanin, Amar Kra. Says in the Pasuk, this is by the Nisim. Remember, the Nisim all brought Korbanot. So we're talking now about Kodesh. The Nisim brought their Korbanot, the Chanukah Mishkan. It says, Kaf Achat Asara Zahav Malayah Ketoret. Now, why does it say Kaf Achat? It just could have said Kaf Malayah Zahav, right? Asara Zahav Malayah Ketoret. Hakatuv asa'o l'kli, masha b'kaf achat. Okay, they turned what was in one kaf. The word achat comes to say this is all considered one kli. Matif Rav Kahana. Okay, so now the problem with this is going to be that this makes it sound like it's mida oraita, because it comes directly from the pasuk, and they're going to have a problem with that. Matif Rav Kahana, hosif Rabbi Akiva, hasolet v'aktoret v'alvona v'agachalim. Shim nagat bulyon b'miksato patzal et kulo. Okay, here's a Mishnah where he adds to the beginning of the Mishnah. Let me just find the beginning. The beginning of the Mishnah, I think, is quoted here in the Gemara. Right. We'll just read the beginning of the Mishnah in a minute. Okay. But basically, if you skip down, skip to the three lines from the bottom. This is the beginning of the Mishnah. Smarter to read it in order. He'if Rabbi Shimon ben Betera al efer chatat shenagah tameh b'miksato shetimeh et kulo. Okay, if a tameh touches part of the efer chatat, he's mitameh et kulo. So now, hosif Rabbi Akiva, that not only is the efer chatat like that, but also the solet and the ketoret and the levonah and the gechalim. Okay, all these things of kodesh are also the same. So now, what does it sound like? V'hadrabanan hi, right? This sounds like it's drabanan, because he added, right, that these are additional things, but he wasn't adding that these are things midor, right? It sounds clear that it's midorabanan. So they say, Mimai mitikatani reisha he'iv Rabbi Shimon ben Betera l'efa chatat shenagat tmei b'miksato shetmei et kulo v'katani hosif Rabbi Akiva. Okay? So now, how could it be that it's meant to be, right, it sounds like it's doraita, and yet, from Rabbi Akiva, it sounds very clear that it's drabanan. Okay, we'll leave you off here.
Hanging.
Tomorrow's daf, hanging. Really hanging.